And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, sometimes you can find out the goals and the plans of the Illuminati elite by simply looking over the current membership of the Council on Foreign Relations. The Council on Foreign Relations. I keep pretty close watch on the CFR these days. You know, I did a series here on the radio called The Murder of America, where I disclosed, and it was a shock to many people, although the word is now getting out in many other avenues and forums, and I'm glad of that. But that was an expose of the plot to merge America into the so-called North American Union by 2010, to end America and our constitutional form of government. And that is the reason, of course, why we now have 25 to 30 million illegal aliens in this country. It's all been planned by the Illuminati. And in fact, the Council on Foreign Relations even published a report on it. They made it public. They put their plans in writing. A man named Professor Robert Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, of the American University, was their point man, let's just call him, their key ideologue in with this report. They've even called for the Amaro, a new currency. They're doing away with the dollar. You wonder now why the dollar is losing value among the world's currencies, and you're going to be feeling it in your pocketbooks very soon. Just watch out. Well, that's the reason why. But there's more. I noticed that the Council on Foreign Relations, for example, in the last 2 years, has promoted, elevated to its memberships some of the most radical of Mexican-American leaders. The leader, for example, of La Raza, the race. That's the name of the Mexican-American group. These people are a bunch of white people haters. And they've made them now members of the Council on Foreign Relations. I guess you need to be a hater. You need to hate Gentiles. You need to hate white people, or you can't be a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, quite obviously. But there's another group that is now being promoted to the upper reaches of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, don't get me wrong. These people will never truly be in leadership, but they are tokens. They're like the token black of the old days. They're promoted to make others in that group think, oh, how swell, how peachy, how wonderful. Look, we're finally being accepted in the upper reaches of United States elite government. Oh, isn't it wonderful? I remember Jerry Falwell, the evangelist, once bragging about, why, now I'm being invited to all the coffees and teas at the White House. And boy, did he ever have a prideful look on his face. You know, Jesus was never invited, I guess, to the coffees and teas that were held at the mansion of Pontius Pilate or of Herod. In fact, the only time I think he was brought before Herod and Pilate was when they beat him, tormented him, threatened him with his life, and demanded he do cheap parlor tricks. But he stood there silent. For the most part. Although he did answer Pontius Pilate by letting Pilate know what the truth was. Well, Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church, today's new hero of the New Seeker Community Churches of America. That's the biggest movement in America. Boy, the growth movement. This is it, folks. Every church on every corner is now changing its strategies, and they're all learning it from Pastor Rick Warren, who wears a Hawaiian luau shirt and goes around barefoot or with sandals, and oh man, he's attracting millions of people. He's been invited to the White House, and Rupert Murdoch is sponsoring him in trips to Africa, and oh, it's so wonderful. And of course, he's just been promoted to the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, they, a few years ago, would never, you know, sink so low as to have a Christian evangelical as a part of their namby-pamby, richy pie CFR elite. It was only the highfalutin rich people, the Rockefellers, the Bushes, the Clintons, and above that, of course, the Paulsons of Goldman Sachs and Morgan Grenfell bankers and Merrill Lynch and on and on and on. Suddenly, they reached down and said, Rick Warren, we'd like to make you a member of the CFR. And Rick Warren does tap dancing on his bare feet. And Richard Land, yes, Richard Land, Pastor Richard Land, is basically the reigning head, you might say. He's had several top positions in the Southern Baptist Convention. And he's pretty well acknowledged as the day-to-day leader of the Southern Baptist Convention. Every year or so, all of the pastors, some 30 to 40,000 so-called messengers of the Southern Baptist Convention, they meet somewhere in the United States and they appoint a president. But he's sort of a figurehead. It's sort of an honorary position. Meanwhile, they have some bureaucrats running the whole show, and Richard Land has, for many years now, been the reigning head of the Southern Baptist Convention. I've had a little bit of communication with Mr. Land. One time I exposed him for his rabid environmentalism. Oh, he's a big Mother Earth lover. I love Mother Earth, he says. And I castigated him for that on my radio program, and I guess he got a lot of mail. And he wrote me a nice letter, and he said, you don't understand, Mr. Mars. Why, I have many associates that I visit in Washington, D.C., political contacts, on behalf, of course, of the Christian Evangelical Church and the Southern Baptist Convention. And it's a feather in my cap that these people know that I'm pro-environmentalist. It allows me entrance into their doors, into their offices. We Christians, we've got to come to grips that we're old fashioned, and we've got to change. And thus, you know, by my giving speeches about protecting and saving the environment, why, I'm invited everywhere in Washington, D.C. now. Don't you know? Look how much good now I can do for Christianity. I guess he thought that would impress me. But I wrote him back and reminded him of his most recent little speech on the environment, in which he actually said, this is Richard Land, basically the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. You can say, oh, they really don't have a head. Yeah, they do. They look up to this man. He's the muckety-muck invited as the big speaker of their conventions and at the largest churches and all of that. And Richard Land gave a speech in which he said, and let me just flat out basically quote the guy, when Jesus Christ gave his commission, it was not only to save human souls, it was to save our Mother Earth. That's the Great Commission. He said it has two parts. We're to save the earth and to save souls. So you Baptists, get out there and now start saving Mother Earth. That's the Great Commission. Go forth into all the world and save all the pine trees and the St. Augustine grass, or whatever, or the tree mice and the desert bugs and the rattlesnakes and all the other things. You got to save them. Richard Land says so. Jesus died on the cross to save the rattlesnakes and the spotted owls. And they call Al Gore Ozone Man. You're the head Southern Baptist. is right there with old Al. And by the way, Al Gore is Southern Baptist too, as is Bill Clinton and a number of other great dignitaries in the new Seeker Church. So the CFR has now recognized Mr. Land and Mr. Warren, and there will be others to follow. Believe me. This is the new generation. They're saying this is the new generation, pro-environment. And they're sort of beginning to soft-pedal things like abortion and homosexuality. We'll talk more about that later. You see, you're not invited into the nicey-nicey country clubs if you're one of those old meany-meany pro-life people. If you're against homosexuality, ooh, you're so backward. We can't invite you into our log cabin Republican group. You're just not one of us. You're so unrefined, so uncosmopolitan, so Tex-Mars. That's when you really get to be pointed out as old-fashioned. When they start comparing you with Tex-Mars, you've really had it, boy, I tell you. You're really down in the dumps, and you'll never get a CFR nomination. I've been waiting in vain. Every day I go to the post office box. Where is my invitation to be a member of the CFR, Wanda? I asked my precious wife. I don't know. It just hasn't got here yet. I've been waiting for it. I've been begging. Please make me a member of the CFR. Oh, sure. You just know it. There was an old song many years ago. Don't you just know it? Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. Oh, I'm not a very good singer, but some of you may remember that from the 50s or 60s. Don't you just know it? Yeah. Tex wants to be a member of the CFR. Boy, I wouldn't last long in that place. I mean, I've already been kicked out of some of the biggest political and religious meetings in America. How long would I last at the CFR den of iniquity? Not very long. Oh, well. Let me tell you something, dear friends. The Bible warned us about these kind of men that would lead the last days Christian church. Peter, in 2 Peter, called them wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. That sounds like something Tex Mars would say, but Peter said it before me, inspired of God. He said it a lot better. It's much more poetic than I could have ever thought of. I say things, but it seems like God is so much more, well, I'll never be his caliber of writer, I can tell you that. Peter said it pretty good there, didn't he? And listen to what else he said. He says, but there were, this is chapter 2 of 2 Peter, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Not bad heresies. Not some, oh, just a little bit off the wall stuff. Not, oh, mistakes. Not errors in judgment. No. Peter said they'll bring in damnable heresies. Man, woo, talk about your writing. That man, inspired by the Holy Ghost, could write. It was clear what he said. They bring in damnable heresies. You say, Tex, you shouldn't curse like that. I'm not cursing. There are things that damn the people to hell. They are damnable. It has nothing to... People bring curses upon themselves. Peter says they bring upon themselves swift destruction. Well, they say, well, God's not going to punish me. I don't even know if God exists. I just want power, temporal power. That's what they say. I expect Richard Land has no fear of God at all. When you start going around saying Jesus died on the cross to save the earth, the environment, you must not fear God at all. To spread such a damnable heresy. When you go like Rick Warren does on the Larry King show and he's asked about other religions like Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, and when Rick Warren answered back and said, oh, I don't worry about that kind of stuff. That's not my area. You know, I just want to help everybody find out their purpose in life. And a Joel Osteen goes on the Larry King show on CNN and he says, I'm not trying to convert anybody, Larry. And I don't want to tell the homosexuals they're living in sin. Oh, that's, I don't do that. I don't condemn people. I just want to help people discover their best life now. Damnable heresies. They think God doesn't see. They think God does not judge. They think there's not going to be a hellacious payday. But listen to what Peter said, chapter 2, verse 3. He says, we'll start with verse 2. It's even better. It says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious. Look that up in your dictionary. That's a good word. Pernicious. That means evil, wicked, destructive, dangerous ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. People will make fun of the truth. Yeah, look at that guy, Richard Land. He says he's a Christian. Then he believes we can save the spotted owl. And Jesus died on the cross to save the spotted owl. Or the tiger, or the whale, the humpback whale or something. Jesus died on the cross for that. What an idiot. You know, I think prostitutes and drunkards in bars know better than that. I tell you what, I can go into the worst, most wicked bar in Austin, Texas, and ask people why Jesus died on the cross, and I believe many of them will look at me. They may not like the question, but they know the answer. They might whisper it to you in the ear. They might be embarrassed. But I think a whore or a drunkard would say, well, he died for my sins. I know I'm not living right, but, you know, they know. They know they're not living right. But a Richard Land or a Rick Warren, why did Jesus die on the cross? Well, to save the spotted owl. To save our Mother Earth. To cure AIDS. Yeah, that's the big new project of Rick Warren. Global AIDS Day. Don't save the homosexual souls, just help cure them of AIDS. You know, it's interesting, they never have a Global Cancer Day. More people die of cancer and heart disease. I mean, AIDS, as bad as it is, and I'm all for curing AIDS, don't get me wrong, but it's minuscule, it's small in numbers compared to cancer. And I know of the people listening to this program, many of you have loved ones right now dying of cancer or sick with cancer or diabetes or heart disease. You're worried sick about them. But Rick Warren says, let's help the homosexual. They've got some of them have AIDS. All the movie stars, AIDS. The White House and Condoleezza Rice and the First Lady have just appointed a new White House AIDS coordinator. He's a homosexual man, Dr. Mark Dybul. Or is it diabolical? I'm not sure. Look it up. His homosexual lover held the Bible on which he took the oath of office. Can you imagine? The homosexual lover of this man, the AIDS coordinator, Dr. Mark Dybul, holds the Bible, so he puts it on, swears on the Bible. What a atrocity that is. And on one side, there's Laura Bush with her little sick, wan little smile. And on the other side is Condoleezza Rice doing the swearing in. Talk about a nation of sickness. Nobody worries about the old people of America or the young people even dying of cancer. That's not a gay disease. And you and I know what AIDS is. Unfortunately, many straight people, many heterosexuals have gotten it too. And many of them have gotten it from needles, heroin addicts and all of that. And then they pass it on to some people. Does anybody deserve to have it? I pray not, but maybe. I don't think people who are, you know, not guilty of anything deserve to get it. But sometimes, friends, you do the wrong thing and you get punished for it. Other times, well, that's just the human condition. because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. But here's what God says. He says of these people, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You know, Rick Warren, Richard Land, Paul Crouch, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, all these people, they make merchandise of you. And what's going to happen to them? Well, here's what Peter says. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Oh, they think it's slumbering. Damnation, ha, 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 they laugh. Let me tell you, it's waiting. God has reserved a place in hell for these people. And their judgment is not going to linger long. You wait and see. We're all going to get there. I'm getting older every day. You are too, friends. You can't escape old father time. God has appointed a day for each one of us to meet him in judgment. Are you ready for that? Are these people ready? I don't believe they are. They have no fear of God. They better get some fear in them. They better read Ecclesiastes. The last passage in Ecclesiastes says here is the whole conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Fear God. It's an important duty. Do you, dear friends, fear God? I do. You say, oh, well, he's a loving God. He wouldn't harm anybody. He's full of tender mercy. He is also a just judging God. He is merciful, but for those who reject him, there is justice. You see, if you believe in Jesus and atone, repent for your sins, then he gives you his tender mercies. But if you stiffen your necks, if you harden your heart, if you are one of these wells without water, let me tell you something. It won't be long until you meet him. And there won't be any tender mercies for you. It's only justice. And you're going to get what you deserve. Listen, friends, I'm going to tell you right now, I do not want to get what I deserve. I don't want to get that. And I am assured by the Holy Word of God, I will not get what I deserve on Judgment Day. That's right. You see, the Bible says that the tender mercy of God offsets his justice. Now, that calls for a whole hour or two sometime with you. But I want you to understand, tender mercy and justice are two attributes of God. And you don't want to meet God and say, God, I'm willing to accept your justice. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're in a pound of trouble. If that's what you tell God on Judgment Day, I'm willing to accept your judgment and justice. Oh, I'm not. Judgment, yes, but not justice. I don't want any justice. I want favor. I want tender mercy. I want God to overlook my sin. I want God to write it off. I want him to blot it out. I want him to forget it. I want him to cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. And you know what? He said, I'll do that for you, Dex. I'll do that. But I want to tell you something, friends. You cannot take a knife, a razor, a sharp edge, and you cannot render to the church of the living God the death of 1,000 cuts and expect to get away with it. No, you're not going to do it. I want to call this talk today, this little private tete-a-tete I'm having with you today, dear friends, the death of 1,000 cuts. Because this is what has happened to the church. We have designer mega churches in the age of entertainment today. Let me say it again. These are nothing more across the nation, and now they're growing across the world. Well, these alpha courses and all this other garbage. We have designer mega churches in the age of entertainment. These are the new seekers going to these churches. They have a religion that is typified by tattoos, body piercing, hip hop, grunge clothing, sex, eye candy praise teams on stage, bobble-headed pastors. That's what I call them. You see these little bobble-headed little critters, little bitty dolls on the back of, you know, cars they used to have, and their little heads would bob up and down as the car moved down the road. Kids, I used to love that when I was a little kid, to have a little bobble-headed doll. Little puppies, sometimes it'd be, especially the little puppy. And his little head would just bobble up and down. Very cute. But you don't want a pastor with a bobblehead. Up and down, up and down. I like a pastor that turns his head left and right and says, no, 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 no. No, I'm not going to condone sin. No, I'm not going to bring the church down to the level of the world. No, I'm not going to insult God by trying to change his word or water it down. No, I will not do it. Instead, you got pastors. They're looking for a Jesus they can mold. They have a word now, you know, among the youth, because they've seen this on cartoons and such. They have these creatures, these beasts that morph into other things. You know, they're like an animal of one kind, and then they morph into a human being. Then they morph into some kind of a supernatural being. They keep morphing. M-O-R-P-H-I-N-G. Morphing. That's what we have today in the church. We have a morphing Jesus, and we just morph him into whatever we want him to be. You know, Juan and I, we've always enjoyed eating at cafeterias. We can choose whatever we want. She says, I want pumpkin pie. Okay, well, I'll take, you know, lemon pie. She wants meatloaf. Well, I'll take, you know, chicken fried steak. That's what they do in these churches. Whatever Jesus you want, we'll give it to you. You want a Jesus that's big on tattoos and dragon pictures and blazing on your chest? Yeah, we have that Jesus. We have the surfer Jesus. We have the hip hop Jesus. Whatever you want. We're a designer mega church. We're here to please you. Friends, I'm telling you, the church is suffering the death of a thousand cuts, the draining away of its lifeblood from one tiny wound after another. You see, the devil cannot slay the Christian church all at once, so he takes his razor and he just rip and rip and rip and rip. The death of a thousand cuts, when will it all end? Reading an article here about a new book out called Righteous. It's written by a Democratic Party or Democrat Party operative named Lauren Sandler. She says, you know, we've got to start making inroads into the religious community like the Republicans have. And the way to do that, she says, is to go evangelical youth movement. Yeah. Yeah, the liberal Democrats say we too can get all these voters, these evangelical right people. They can become Democrats. Well, that's getting big now. Hillary Clinton met a bunch of top-notch, high-flight, super-rich, mostly Jewish lawyers in New York City recently. I got a little inside report on her meeting. She said, I'm going religious. I'm going Christian right. She said that. I'm going to win the vote of the religious right. How can she do it? You know how she can do it. They're all waiting for her. The mega churches in the age of entertainment. They're looking for a leader like Hillary Rodham Clinton. I'm going to tell you a little bit of exactly how the Democrats are going to do it. How they're going to take over the Christian right. How they have already accomplished it in many respects. The death of a thousand cuts. When we return, right here on Power of Prophecy, you're listening to Tex Mars. Well, hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars, and you know, I'm so glad you're listening to this program today. I'm sort of on a rant. I tell you, I'm upset about these mega churches in the age of entertainment, the new seeker churches, they call them. This is all planned out. That's why the Council on Foreign Relations has brought into its membership Pastor Rick Warren, Pastor Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention, and so forth. Oh, all the muckety mucks, they're going Christian now. But of course, it's a far different Christianity than you and I have ever known. I'm glad you're listening to this program, and some of you write to me and you say, Tex, it's so hard to get you on shortwave radio. We have a lot of static in our area, but we persevere, and I thank you for persevering. Now, I want to mention a couple of alternatives to you. If you have a computer and you can go online, just go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or just texmars.com. You'll get the same website, T-E-X-E. I know they spell it a little different. You know, had a midwife out in the country of East Texas deliver me. You can tell I'm an old-fashioned fella. Tex Mars, and she spelled it T-E-X-E. Well, I was stuck with that. And then Mars, you know, nobody knows how to spell that right. They spell it Myers and Mears and all kind of things. But it's just like the planet Mars, except it has two R's. TexMars.com. Just go on there and right on the homepage, just scroll on down a little bit and you'll see where you can just click on and listen to our program. Perfect clarity. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this week's program will be on. Now, we don't have them archived, so you can't go to last week's program. You got to listen to it sometime this week. But you have 7 days, 24 hours a day. Sometimes people say, Tex, I listen to you on shortwave radio, and if it doesn't come in so clear, I go to my internet and go to texmars.com or powerofprophecy.com. By the way, it's also on a third website we have called conspiracyworld.com. And you can listen to it there. And the voice is so much better. And if you like what you're hearing, or if you didn't have time that week to listen to the program, I pray that you will be faithful to it. But if you don't, you know, get our newsletter or go online at powerofprophecy.com and you can order the audio tape or the CD of the program. We have them all listed, you know, by title and so forth. Once a month, we list them and we explain what's in every program. It'll be interesting to see what I say is in this one. I always write them myself, and I write the description. I try to be accurate as I can. So you can listen to us then on internet, or you can buy the CD or an audio tape if you don't have a CD player. Or you can hear us originally on shortwave. Now, I want to mention something to you, dear friend. If you need a good shortwave radio, we have them, and they are a lot less expensive through powerofprophecy.com. Okay? We have shortwave radios you can buy. In fact, we have one. It's sort of a new model. It comes with Porsche design. You know Porsche, the sports car? It's actually a very pretty one. And it's got all kind of electric sub presets and things like that on it. And you can order the shortwaves from us. By the way, we also have a cranking kind. You crank it up. Boy, now if you're stuck in a Hurricane Katrina type situation, a flood, an earthquake, or some natural disaster, and your electric power goes off, maybe a heavy thunderstorm, guess what? Just crank this thing. You can crank and listen to it for 30, 45 minutes, an hour, and then crank it a little bit more. Just a little crank on the side. Get your own energy right there. Isn't that fantastic? So we have the crank model. And I guess for cranky people, they can... If you're a Tex Mars cranky person type, you can get a crank type of a shortwave radio. It even comes with a flashlight. And by the way, these shortwave radios, we have the Porsche design radio. This one now with a crank is a Grundig. And that's a German model, I believe it is. I can't remember exactly, but Grundig overseas is one of the best brands, and everybody knows it for its quality. Hey, this thing's only like $39. Plus, you'd have to pay shipping and everything. This crank radio, shortwave radio and flashlight. You can take it to the beach with you. You can take it anywhere with you. It's got a built-in telescopic antenna. I don't want to go too far into it, but it's got an earphone jack and, wow, built-in power generator, 14-band tuning. And then there's the Grundig by Porsche, with the Porsche design I mentioned to you. That's real sleek looking. I'd get that as a gift for somebody. It's only $79. And if you call, who knows, we might be running a special on these things. Periodically we do. Then there's the Sangean America AM FM. All these are AM FM. So you can listen to AM, FM, or shortwave. Hear things from all around the world. And the Sangean is our best selling one. It's $99. By the way, we have CD players. If you're not too high-tech oriented, well, don't worry about that. We have a personal MP3 CD player for $49. Then we have a portable stereo MP3 CD player with AM, FM. So, check it out, dear friends, on our website. And by the way, if you've got our new catalog, we have a 192-page catalog. You'll find these in the catalog. Pictures of them, in fact. So, if you're looking for a new shortwave or you want to buy a friend a shortwave, because a lot of people say, Tex, how can I get your radio program? Buy a shortwave radio. Now, you can go to Radio Shack. You can go to Best Buy. You can go to one of the Circuit City, and you can pay more. Here's what I'd like to do. Why don't you buy it from us, and what you were going to pay at Circuit City, give the rest of us in a love gift. Rather than $129, buy it for $99 through us, and the rest of the money give to us as a love gift. We keep this program going around the world. That's one alternative, but that's up to you. You know, it's a love gift is a love gift. We don't give tax deductions. We're not 501c3. We don't believe in the, you know, bowing down to the government hoo-has, so we don't do that either. So, again, we are a cranky organization here. We just serve God. He's our boss. Every once in a while I get a letter from people. How dare you say such a thing? I want to know who your supervisor is. So I write him back and say, okay, his name is God. You can contact him in heaven. Just get on your knees and pray to him and tell him what a bad boy Tex Morris is and see if he agrees with you. If he does, then I'll change. But if not, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And you know, I haven't heard from God yet. He must like what I'm doing. Or maybe they're not taking my advice and praying. You know, it's very dangerous to pray. Because God may tell you something that you never thought of before. He could change your life. You may not like that. You may like what you're doing right now. And he says, I want you to change. That's dangerous to get on your knees and pray. But that's what I recommend. When people don't like what Tex Morris say, go talk to my boss. He can fire me. He can close me down anytime he wants. And I accept his authority too. I don't quibble. I don't complain about God. I'll tell you something, friends. That's one thing I have learned in these many years of ministry and all my days in the U.S. Air Force. Don't ever complain about God. Don't do it. Bad things happen. Thank you, Lord. Hope you'll be more kind to me tomorrow. Hope you'll let the world be more kind to me tomorrow. But if not, there must be a reason for it. I'm going to go right on. That's right. Set your face like flint and go forward. And when bad things happen to you, just smile and say, well, Lord, I know this was meant to happen. And I know you've done the right thing here. And I'm sorry I've lost this or that. Or, you know, I'm just going to keep going. And, you know, somewhere or another, the sun comes shining through. Eventually. And I have not quit smiling yet. Now let's keep going here. I've got a lot more for you. You know, we're talking about the new seeker churches. I'm getting so many letters now from people saying, my church has changed. My pastor went to some Bill Hybels Willow Creek Community Church thing up in the Midwest, or, you know, Robert Schuller's church growth meetings, or Pastor Rick Warren, and now everything is changing, and you know, they've taken out the choir and they have these people prancing up and down there like rock stars, you know, with their guitars. And somebody told me they took out the choir and they put five attractive girls. They scout around the church and they've got five of the prettiest girls and they make them wear mini skirts. And they're up there as Eye Candy leading the music. Eye Candy. I'd never heard the word before, but Eye Candy. Can't have an overweight gal. Can't have an ugly gal. You gotta have Eye Candy. Isn't it interesting? I'm going to tell you a little secret. This is just a secret between me and you. I had a woman one time. She got so mad at me because I said it, but it's true. Did you know the Bible says that Jesus was not a handsome man? He was not comely. C-O-M-E-L-Y. Look up the word. That's what it says in Isaiah. He was not attractive so that the world would follow him because of his looks. He never would have been the world's most handsome man. You know, the biggest, what do they call it, hunk or hottie or whatever the name is now. He wouldn't have made that list even then. There was nothing in him physically that would attract people to him. But they were attracted. There was something about him. And there still is today something about that name. Jesus. Just something. A lot of people have tried to picture him over the years. Some of the most famous artists in the world have representations or depictions of what Jesus they think looked like. We cannot trust any of those pictures. Some people say you shouldn't have a picture like that on your wall. It's an idol. Well, I don't know about that. I'm not going to debate that with you. It is Jesus. Now, you don't pray to the picture or anything like that. But, and I don't have pictures of Jesus, you know, on my walls. But, you know. But my point is, I don't want pictures of Jesus so much. I admire Christian art, don't get me wrong. And if somebody wants to picture Moses, you know, holding up the tablets, they really don't know what Moses looked like, but if this is what they think he looks like, okay. And he's usually some powerful Charlton Heston, commanding figure with a beard, and oh, he's got muscles, and wow, all the women would be attracted to him. But for all I know, he was a shrimpy little runny guy that nobody was attracted to. In fact, the Bible says he was worried about people following him. A lot of the prophets in the Bible complained to God, said, God, I can't even speak good. I have a problem, a speech impediment or something. God, why did you choose me? There are a lot of people out there ask questions like that. I can't be a minister. I can't be an evangelist. I can't preach to others. One woman told me, she says, you know, I've got a few bad teeth. When I smile, people can see my bad teeth. Well, she says, I don't have enough money to have them fixed. I don't want to go out and tell people about Jesus. It's sort of a sad case. But I don't know. You mean God can't make people not worry about that? I think he can. I was speaking of to a man some years ago. He had a doctorate. He was one of the most intelligent men you could ever meet. I asked him how he came to know Jesus. He said, I was at a motorcycle shop. And this mechanic had grease all over his hands and everything. He seemed to always be in a good spirit of mind. And I asked him about it. And he said, well, I know Jesus. He says, well, I was going to sort of smirk and say, yeah, sure. But he said there was just something about that guy. He was overly happy. I wasn't too happy. I had a lot of money. Had a big car. Had everything I wanted. But I was not happy. I wanted to know why that mechanic was so happy. Well, it ended up with the mechanic and the mechanic took a break. They went over on the side of the garage. They sat down on the ground there and the mechanic told him why he was so happy. The doctor came to know Jesus Christ and you know what? He's happy today too. Well, what if that mechanic had said, no one's going to listen to me. I've got grease under my fingernails. Friends, you got something that everybody needs. Isn't that the perfect product? And it's a product that, listen, is so magnificent that one word of it from the Bible outweighs everything else in the world. There's never been a product like that. Besides, this is a product that's free and yet cost everything. It requires nothing of you and yet requires everything of you. Now that's a riddle, and I'll let you answer that for yourself. Read an article recently. It says Christians are cool. Young people say, I would not join a church unless I thought the Christians there were cool. We're with it. We're trendy, fashionable. Then I saw another article written by a woman named Marcia West. She says, you know, I'm not a Christian myself, but I find this sort of a problem, this churches that are looking for the latest fashion trends. She said, you see, and I'm just going to read to you, this is from her article. She says, I don't really go to church to see people with pants that are so low I can see the crack of their butt. But that's what she said happened to her. She decided to go to church. She was seeking spirituality, and she went to a church, and she wrote this newspaper article. She says, what I saw there, I found I was not very interested in. The people pretty much showed up undressed, and I am not prone to exaggeration, said Marcia. Women attended the services dressed in short shorts, low-cut clingy tops. In some cases, they wore skin-tight, low-rider jeans, worn so low that you could see their permanent artwork, that is, tattoos, etched onto the top part of their butts. Their hips were viewed by all. She says, excuse my bluntness, ladies, but exposing your butt crack in church is unacceptable. The outside world is looking for dignity, is looking for you know what I'm saying, friends? And they go to a church like this. It makes me want to cry. Think of the people who are looking for God, and what do they see? People who are showing their butt cracks. Their jeans are so low, and filthy tattoos, grunge t-shirts. And she goes on to explain it. Even she says, first impressions are important. What do people think about these things? Well, they think Christians are cool. No, they don't. They say Christians are just like me. Ha, ha, ha. They're of the world. I was recently reading an article. Let me get it out for you here because you just got to. Here it is. Dr. Tom Snyder wrote this article for the Christian Film and Television Commission. They did a study, a poll. They compared the moral and religious views of young adults in their 20s and 30s with the views of adults over 40. Now these are Christians. Now let me say this again. They took young people in their 20s and 30s that declared themselves to be Christians, born again Christians, and they compared their views, their philosophies, with adults over 40 years of age. Guess what they found? The Barna group that conducted these surveys found that the young adults have abandoned the biblical faith of their elders at an alarming rate. For example, the young adults in their 20s and 30s were at least twice as likely as their elders over 40. Twice as likely to, number one, have a sexual encounter outside of marriage. Number two, use illegal drugs. Number three, get drunk. Number four, use profanity in public. Number five, lie or have lied. Number six, take revenge against their enemies. Number seven, to have physically fought or physically abused someone. Number nine, to have recently viewed sexually explicit videos. Number 10, to have recently said mean things behind someone's back. rocks. And not only that, the younger adults were more likely than the older to reject the biblical concept of absolute truth. When asked what standard they use to determine what is right and wrong morally, more of the young so-called Christians refused to mark the block that said God's principles. When asked to explain what ethics and morality are based on, the younger adults were likely to pencil in, quote, what is right for the person. Whatever is right for that person. That's what's ethical and moral. The young so-called Christian adults did not seem to find much wrong with same-sex marriage. Sex out of marriage either, for that matter. They watched the same R-rated and other evil movies as the world at large. In fact, Barna says there was no difference in those who identify themselves as born-again Christians in their behavior and lifestyle than those who said, no, I'm not a Christian. There's no difference. They're all cool. They're all part of the new seeker church, and they don't know what Jesus and salvation in the Bible and morals and ethical behavior even are. One of these young people, 21 years of age, said to me, did you ever cheat when you were in school or in college? I said, no. You never cheated on a test? I said, no. He said, well, I do. I cheat. I said, really? He said, yeah, everybody does it nowadays. You cheat in school. Yeah, everybody does it. I said, young man, you're just cheating yourself. You're not getting away with anything. You're not learning anything. You're cheating yourself. I went to college. I worked my way through college. I worked my way through college. Let me repeat that again. I worked my way through college. I didn't have rich parents to pay me one dime. And I want to tell you something, friends. I paid for it and I was going to get it. I paid that college, that university. I paid those professors to teach me. I wasn't going to cheat myself. That'd be like buying a new car but telling a dealer, cheat me and don't put tires on it. You come to pick up your car, there are no tires on it. He said, well, you told me to cheat yourself. You wanted to cheat yourself. It's an idiotic thing to cheat yourself. What is that old saying on TV? The mind is a horrible thing to waste. You better believe it, but they're wasting it. They're wasting their bodies, their lives, but they are cool. They're awesome. Oh my gosh, as they say, which is another way of using profanity, but they say worse. It's so awesome. That church is so awesome. They have mosh rock dancing there. They have these beautiful chicks with short skirts on stage. Woo, I love that church. Nothing about God, Jesus, nothing about sacrifice, nothing about burdens, carrying people's burdens. And they don't want to hear about it flying away someday either. They don't want to fly away to heaven. They want to have a party right here on earth right now. They want to have their party and their celebration inside the church walls. Or maybe in a back room somewhere with a person of the opposite sex, or maybe the same sex, the way it's going. Somebody sent me a Seventh-day Adventist magazine called Liberty. Purports to be, boy, we believe in separation of church and state, and we're, you know, it's very pro-Mason, quite obviously, right out of the Masonic Lodge. Seventh-day Adventist, I believe it's right out of the Masonic Lodge. Same stuff I read in Masonic writings and teachings, but it's Seventh-day Adventist. And I guess it's an official Seventh-day Adventist publication. Looking at the back cover right now, and they have pictures of, looks like an Episcopal or a Lutheran pastor, a Buddhist monk, a Hindu guru, a Muslim imam, and they titled it Reciprocity in Religion. And they quote the fourth hadith of Islam. They quote the Hindu scriptures, the Mahabharata. They quote the Samyutta Nikaya of Buddhism. And they try to show that it's all sort of similar to the golden rule we find in the Holy Bible. See, it's all the same. Reciprocity in religion. Recently, somebody put me on to a new book called The Wide, Wide Circle of God's Love. Just makes you want to cry. You know, John in the Bible says God is love. But listen to this. Listen to this. The book, you see, is written by a Presbyterian seminary professor, Dr. W. Eugene March. He was at the General Assembly Council. That's where all the muckety-mucks and the pastors and so forth of the Presbyterian Church get together once a year. And he told them a little bit about his book, and he was widely applauded. Remember now, the title of the book is The Wide, Wide Circle of God's Love. In his book, he said, it's time for us to get past the Gospel of John, where Jesus supposedly said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said, oh, that's out. We've got to get away from that. In fact, he said that verse in the Gospel of John was irrelevant for today. He said it's one of the scandals of the Christian religion. That's a scandal for Jesus to have said that he was the way, the truth, and life. That's a scandal of the Christian religion. This guy is teaching young pastors at the Presbyterian Seminary. And he's one of the featured speakers at the Presbyterian Conference, their assembly, General Assembly. And he says the Bible, the words in the Bible are a scandal. What words? Jesus' words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there we have the Seventh-day Adventist seeking reciprocity in religion on their Liberty magazine. And here we have, well, the Presbyterians. But we also have Rick Warren and Joel Osteen and Richard Land wanting to save the bugs and the bees and the snakes and the trees and the bushes. Then I have this news item from Tampa, Florida. It says it's Monday night. And at the glorious Church of God in Christ, where African-American pastor Charles Kennedy preaches, they've recently been meeting with groups such as the Church of Scientology. I need what they have, said the pastor. Scientology? Folks, that's a satanic religion. I need what they have, says this Christian pastor. He needs what Satan has, anyone that wants to give it to the young people of his church. They're seekers. They obviously haven't found what they're looking for, or have they? I believe they have. I remember a debate I had with a New Age teacher one time. She kept talking about the God within. I said, what is the name of your God? She said, he doesn't have a name. I said, yes, he has a name. Every God has a name. The name of your God is Lucifer. These people are not seekers. They've already found their God. They found their purpose in life. It's to serve Satan. Ah, the age of entertainment. That's it. They're so cool. They serve Satan and think they're serving God. Until next week, this is Tex Morris. Tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.